Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This is the Skate Podcast, talking Bruins hockey with WEEI Bruins writers Scott McLaughlin, Bridget Prue, and Brian DeFelice. Lace them up for some Bees talk. It's Odyssey's The Skate Pod on WEEI.
Woo!
Welcome into episode 447 of The Skate Pod. I'm Bridget Prue here with Scott McLaughlin. Brian could not join us this morning. We had planned to record now, but also some impromptu news coming out. Scott, we finally timed it correctly. We were planning to record this morning and we were thinking, you know, if the Bruins drop some head coaching news about 9 a.m., we should be able to record at, you know, 10, 11 and be good to go to talk about it. And guess what? It finally happened. I think we did break the curse.
I still think you're tempting fate and something's going to happen at some point. I think you need to stop. But yeah, in this case, we did not have coaching news break right after recording or anything like that. Marco Sturm is the Bruins' new head coach. Announced Thursday morning, shortly after 9 a.m. Bruins, like every team does, put up a little teaser, like a little before 9 a.m., where they're changing out the nameplate on the door to the head coach's office. And then we get the official announcement. You know, this was what was expected, but, you know, because obviously news of Sturm potentially being the hire started to break, we started to get reports, rumors of that last week. And then you do, when it kind of drags on and all of a sudden it's like day after day, you're not getting anything. You do wonder, hey, are they waiting to see what happens in Dallas? Because there's still rumors out of there that, you know, Pete DeBoer might not be on steady ground with how everything ended and his comments about Jake Ottinger. There were reports that, you know, players expressed concerns about it. Obviously, Misha Donskoy, we talked about him. They could have interviewed him, Dallas Stars assistant. So I don't know exactly what the hangup was. I don't think they really seriously went down either of those paths. So maybe it was just contractual stuff. I don't know. Maybe Sturm had to talk through things more with his family, but either way, we do eventually land here, and Marco Sturm is now the 30th head coach in Boston Bruins history.
Yep, and also we got some news this morning about Joe Sacco, and we talked about would he end up back on the staff as an assistant. It does not seem like that's, I don't know if it's been officially reported, Scott, that he's on his way to New York. to the Rangers staff.
Yeah, Elliot Friedman reported that Thursday morning that he's joining Mike Sullivan's staff in New York. I've seen a couple of Rangers reporters confirm that. So going to be a BU-heavy staff down at the Rangers, where you now have Chris Drury as GM, Mike Sullivan head coach, Joe Sacco and David Quinn both as assistants. So I guess I'm a Rangers fan now that once you hit four Terriers in positions of power, I have to root for you. So that's not surprising, right? Like Sacco obviously has been with the Bruins for 10 years, takes over as interim head coach when Montgomery gets fired. Not the best situation, but then he is a candidate to become permanent head coach. They interview him. He's part of the process for, you know, pretty much this entire search until finally last week. At some point, he was informed that he was out of the running, and seems like he decided that, the best next step for him is to go somewhere else, be exposed to different organization, work under obviously a pretty legendary head coach in Mike Sullivan, and try to navigate a path towards becoming a head coach somewhere down the road, by getting out of Boston and seeing some different landscapes.
Yeah, and that still leaves the question, though, because Jay Leach seemed to be a candidate that made it pretty deep into the interviewing process for the head coaching job. Obviously doesn't get it. It goes to Marco Sturm, but Jay Leach and Chris Kelly, now you wonder what their fates are, because Sacco's out. Do they stay on the staff? Does Jay Leach, you know, say, okay, I'm going to stick around here and keep working and work with Marco Sturm? Or does he want to change the scenery too, because he was hoping to get elevated and didn't? And Chris Kelly, we don't believe was part of the head coaching search or interviewing for it, but he's been in Boston for a while now. And we'll just see how much of the staff ends up getting turned over now that we know who the head coach will be.
Yeah, I anticipate Jay Leach staying, but that could change. Maybe Marco Sturm does want his whole, his own staff, and that gets discussed now that he's officially on board. But I think Leach might stay. I don't have a feel either way for Chris Kelly, but either way, there's going to be at least one opening. You know, you have to imagine that they find a. I would think they have to look for a power play specialist type of person, someone with a fresh set of eyes there. Leach was not involved in the power play, even if he stays put. Chris Kelly was, but obviously this is now, going on a year and a half where their power play has really struggled. Marco Sturm has had, I would say at best, mixed results as a power play coach. He was in charge of the Kings power play for a while when he was an assistant, and it was not very good. In Ontario, his 3 years in the AHL, his first 2 years there, they had a really good power play, one of the best in the AHL. Last year, one of the worst. So, like I said, some mixed results in terms of what Marco Sturm's power plays look like. That's definitely still an area I think the Bruins need to address, and we'll see if we get some news. We should mention Sturm's official introductory press conference is going to be Tuesday morning, 11 a.m. Don Sweeney will be there as well. Sweeney is currently out at the scouting combine in Buffalo, which is why you're not getting it today or Friday. So we'll see if there's any news on what the rest of the staff looks like on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm sure we're both going to be making our way to Boston for that as, news starts to ramp up a little bit, and there's obviously going to be stuff to come out of the combine as well. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk to Don Sweeney about some of the prospects he's looking at for the number 7 overall pick as well. But I did want to say, with keeping with the power play conversation and what Marco Sturm might be able to do to help the Bruins with some of the things that they had struggled with last season, the power play isn't just something that the coaching staff's going to have to handle. Don Sweeney also needs to get more power play personnel onto this roster, because at the trade deadline, they moved a few different players who had roles on the power play, whether it be the first or the second unit. Obviously, Brad Marchand had been a fixture on the power play for a long time. Charlie Coyle had been a power play guy as well, helps out with the faceoffs normally on the second unit. And so there's certainly some holes to plug personnel-wise on the power play, not just with the coaching staff.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think even if you're – I will say, like, even if your top unit lines up in, you know, whatever the formation might look like, but McAvoy, Pastrnak, Geeky, Mittelstad, Lindholm, like, there's still enough talent there for it to be better than it was. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what they do there. I think, you know, in terms of what Sturm does bring, because, look, power play, a lot of times the head coach just turns that over to an assistant. Like, if you find the right assistant, that becomes their specialty, and the head coach can be pretty hands-off if you trust your assistant. Where I think Sturm makes a difference, like, what you hear most about him is really good communicator with players, has been beloved by his players, both with the Kings and with the Ontario Reign. Good with young players, good, you know, developing talent. The Kings have had a couple players graduate from the AHL to the NHL and start to look like good NHL players. You know, he comes from an organization that, like the Bruins, prides itself on defense. The Kings have always been good defensively. Sturm's Ontario Reign teams played a similar style and were also good defensively. You know, so, like, that's something the Bruins have to get back, because last year, that totally slipped. There was no, as I said before, like, outside of maybe 3 weeks to a month after the coaching change, there was no defensive identity last year. Part of it was injuries, but part of it was just seemingly just a complete lack of cohesion from that team in terms of killing plays in their own zone and breaking out. So that's something Sturm will be expected to bring back. What I hear is, like, his teams play similar to how he played as a player, which is defensively responsible, play with pace, gritty, get in on the forecheck, go to dirty areas. Like, that's what Marcus Sturm was as a player. And I think that kind of identity bleeds through into how he coaches and how he wants his teams to play. And if you get there, like, that is a successful style. Now, what I'm really interested in is, Don Sweeney, a couple times to us, Bridget, when I think you might have been the one who asked about it, yeah. But, or it might have been the answer to a different question. But Don Sweeney talked about evolving offensively. And in his statement, I know we're going to get more into these, but yeah. In his statement about Sturm, released after the hire was made official, he highlights you know, a couple things. He said, our goal is to identify a coach who could uphold our strong defensive foundation while helping us evolve offensively. I'm really interested to hear and to see what that offensive evolution looks like, because, again, Sturm comes from the Kings, and as much as stout as they've been defensively, that organization has not really been known for offense. The Kings are not one of the most offensive teams in the NHL. The Ontario Reign were generally not one of the most offensive teams in the AHL. They, for many years, played like a 1-3-1, which is a little bit more of a trap than an aggressive forecheck. You know, so that I'm interested to see, like, does Sturm want to do that, or does he have other ideas? Because he was never in charge with the Los Angeles Kings organization. He was always, whether it was as an assistant or the AHL head coach, he's playing to what the NHL head coach is. System is. So if the NHL head coach, you know, for years as Todd McLellan, says this is how we play, well, that's how you have to coach down in the AHL as well, because you want your AHL players to know how the NHL team plays. So I'm interested to see if Sturm sort of brings that with them, and that's how he wants to play, or does he have other ideas after being there of saying, like, yeah, there's some good defensive foundation there that I want to bring, but I want to do things differently offensively. I want to do things different on the forecheck. I'll be interested to see that.
Yeah, remember when Jim Montgomery first got hired for the Bruins, what we had talked about was, is this a coach that's going to allow the defensemen to jump up into the offense? Is this going to be good for Charlie McAvoy to get more offensive and Hampus Lindholm to get more offensive? And we did see that when Montgomery started in his first season, that the D were allowed to move a little bit more freely to rotate and jump into the offense. And we'll see if that, because that had gone away quite a bit last season. And, you know, obviously we talked about how Lindholm went down early, and but from the defensive side of it, like, the offense wasn't the same as that first Montgomery year that he was coaching. And you wonder, is Marco Sturm going to say, hey, here's some freedom to do that, get back to that, jump into the offense for guys who have that skill set, like McAvoy, like Lori, and like Lindholm?
Yeah, and again, like, it's hard to get defensemen involved offensively when you can't get out of your own zone. Like, if you're spending 30 seconds just trying to play defense and eventually get the puck back, well, now your defensemen are pretty much at the end of their shifts. They're not joining the rush and cycling offensively. Like, they're just trying to get in deep and then go off for a change. So, yeah, you got to find ways to kill plays in the D zone and get out quickly and get going the other way, which kind of ties back to, like, I'm really interested to see if or how Sturm breaks the mold from the Kings, because yes, there's a defensive structure there that, that is effective to an extent. And that I think the Bruins like to an extent, and that's why they looked towards that organization. But also, like, the Kings can get passive at times, and, you know, they'll resort to, okay, we'll give up zone time, but we're going to clog the middle and not give up grade A chances. And it's like, that's fine. If you're going to get pinned in your own zone, you have to do that at least. But the idea is, don't get pinned in your own zone in the first place. Generally, that's how most organizations want to operate. And you know what's funny is, as I was, like, reading through some clips this morning, I was reminded that after there was a playoff series where Nikita Zadorov faced the Kings, and he had a quote during it after one of the games saying, because they were getting frustrated, and he said, he had a quote along the lines of, like, they don't even play hockey and they don't want you to play hockey. They just clog the middle of the ice and want nothing to happen. And, like, I actually don't think that's what the Bruins want to do. And I don't think it's what Marco Sturm is going to want to do, but he does come from an organization that did that, that players kind of view as, like, you know, like, this playoffs we dealt with, like, the Carolina Hurricanes boring label, right? Like, everyone's saying the Hurricanes are boring and they kind of embraced it. Like, the Kings are another team that could be described as boring. And I'll be interested to see if, like, how much of that is brought here, because, again, it can be effective. You can win a lot of games playing quote unquote boring hockey. But do you want to do something different? Like, that doesn't sound like evolving offensively. So I got to imagine Don Sweeney has something else in mind.
Yeah. And this is your first chance at being a head coach in the NHL. And he's not being put into the best situation either. So he's coming into a team that really has a lot of holes right now that are going to have to be filled in free agency, and probably with some guys from Providence, which means he's going to have to work pretty closely with younger players and with a team that might not start out with a whole lot of chemistry. So he's going to help build that. And it's certainly not the easiest job to step into. We talked about maybe some coaches didn't want to take over a team like the Bruins because they thought they were too deep into a rebuild and they weren't close enough to being a contending team. Whereas Don Sweeney and management and ownership think that they are, you know, ready to get right back in there. And so it seems like, though, Sturm is a good fit for quite a few reasons, including just really being on the same page with management and ownership about what they want. And I'm going to read more of the statement as well, because we touched on the first part of it about the defensive structure. But I'm going to skip ahead and then go back for a second, but to the part about him being a Bruin. And so in Sweeney's statement, he said, as a former Bruin, he understands what this team means to the city and our fans. We're embracing a new direction with Marco Sturm behind the bench and are confident in his energy, standards, and commitment to competitive, hard-nosed brand of hockey, reflecting exactly what Bruins hockey should be. So culturally, this was kind of a slam dunk because he knew what Bruins culture was already from his time playing here. And it seems like, at least in that way, that though there is a changing of the guard, the understanding and the expectations really aren't going to be so, it's not going to be such a huge difference for the players who have been around the team for a long time that they're going to have to expect something completely different in the locker room.
Well, yes and no. I mean, there should be pretty big changes from last year. Like, something should change, you know. It shouldn't just be like, all right, we'll show up in September and do the same thing we did last year. Like,
I mean, no, culturally, I didn't explain it.
I know what you mean. I just think, like, it even frustrated me a little bit last year. Like, the way questions, and I think players a lot of times are just answering questions, so I almost don't even blame them, but
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I think, like, people would frame it and, like, reporters would ask about, like, how do you keep the culture going? Or, like, how do you get back to the culture from previous years? And I kind of wish, like, Pastrnak or McAvoy or whoever would be like, yeah, there's some of that we want to do, but, like, we need to do something new here. Because I do think something has to change. Like, what – there's a reason that Don Sweeney turned over much of that locker room, and there's a reason that in this statement he says embracing a new direction, because this is new, and it is changing, and it should change, because what they were doing had gotten stale. Now, in terms of building a culture or rebuilding a culture or whatever you want to call it, I know Brian's made this point before, and obviously, you know, he'll be back with us early next week. He just wasn't able to record today. But, you know, Sturm was there for the process of building up to the 2011 Stanley Cup. He wasn't on that team. He had gotten moved before they actually won. He was here until 2010, but he was there when Zdeno Chara and Mark Savard arrived. He saw Claude Julien come in, take over for Dave Lewis, who clearly was overmatched here. And he saw what Claude Julien wanted to do. He was there as Sean Thorne and Andrew Ferentz came in as secondary leaders to help bring that team along. You know, like he was part of all that. And so, yeah, I think like he knows what that looks like. And obviously he has done it now in the AHL. Like you have to, as a head coach, you have to help set a culture. And he also did it with the German national team, which is a little different because you don't have your hands on players every day, but the German national hockey team was it was basically irrelevant when he took over. Like they're tell me your favorite memory of Germany hockey between 1990 and 2015. Like I'll wait, you know, like they're not a power. And yet like he got them to an Olympic silver medal in 2018. I think they made a quarterfinals at a world championships, like stuff that German hockey hadn't done. And I know that Olympics was without NHLers, so there's an asterisk there. But even still, like that German national team did not have one of the best rosters, and yet they won silver. And part of that is culture and getting guys to buy in and believe and just work their asses off. And so, yeah, that's going to have to be a big part of this because the Bruins are, no matter how much, you know, the locker room or the culture changes, like there's a reset happening here. There are new leaders who haven't worn a C before. It's a younger team. The old guard is gone. So there, it does have to be a building, an establishment, a rediscovery, like whatever you want to call it. It's not as simple as just like, when Jim Montgomery walked in, there was something already there that he really didn't have to touch or change or build all that much. This is different. Like Markstrom is going to have to help build something.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the team that Montgomery took over, it had Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci. And those guys were, I mean, there was criticism for Montgomery that he didn't do enough speaking in the room and let the players handle maybe too much. And then once those guys retired after his first season, that's when things started to look different and he had to try to coach pretty differently without those leaders around. So certainly, and you know what, Scott, I was thinking while you were talking, this was our first step in our mock off season and it you know, it happened. And we can get into, not today, cause this is going to be very coaching centric, podcast today, but, you know, hey, what happens next? Are they listening to us, Scott? are they following our off season plan? But one other thing that popped in my head when you're talking about the changing of leadership for the Bruins and no one, you know, the Marchand's not here. Your captain to start last season is not here. You're gonna have to choose a new captain. We never went through and chose our new captain in our mock off season, but that is something that has to happen. And a lot of times that process goes through talking to the players about who they think is going to be, you know, the right person for that fit. But we should get into that at some point, who we would pick as our next captain. Cause then some of that leadership that we're talking about with Marco Sturm, some of it's going to fall to the next captain as well.
Yeah. And regardless of who it is, you know, big thing for Sturm early on, he may all very well have already been on the phone with these guys as we record just before noon on Thursday, like building relationships with Charlie McAvoy and David Pastrnak, especially because we know like this is their team now. And yes, there are other leaders, Hampus Lindholm, Nikita Zadorov, Morgan Geeky, Elias Lindholm, like there's other veterans, but those two are the stars, the pillars. If they give out a C this year, it's almost certainly going to be one of them. You know, unless there's a surprise addition from from the outside that we're not anticipating, but
Marshawn comes back, which people will walk up to me on all the time and be like, Bridget, Marshawn's coming back. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't think so, but it's not impossible, I guess. I mean, he's a free agent, but yeah, I don't think he's going to be wearing the C for the Bruins next year. So it is.
No. By the way, Elliot Friedman reported Wednesday night that there are teams that could offer Marchand $8 million a year in free agency. So him asking for 7+ from the Bruins doesn't look too crazy right now.
No, I mean, he scored the second goal yesterday in the game one of the Stanley Cup final, which was quite a turn of events. We can get to that too. Once we're finished talking about Marco Sturm and the coaching, there's plenty to talk about with the Stanley Cup final first game. Cause it had a lot, and it had Marchand, and it had another free agent who we thought could maybe be a Bruin next season, which is Sam Bennett, and he had another very impactful game. So we'll table that for now.
I also had another big German, Leon Draisaitl, star for the Oilers. So
yeah,
big, 18 hours or so, maybe not even 18 hours for German hockey.
Yeah. It's funny. One time one time I was in the Bahamas, and I was at a restaurant. These two German guys were sitting next to me. They were there for like a rave or something. And I was talking about my job. I was like, yeah, I'm a broadcast hockey. I'm a Bruins reporter. And they just wanted to talk to me about Leon Draisaitl forever, because they weren't like the biggest hockey fans, but they just followed Leon Draisaitl. And they're like, well, we have like the best hockey player in the league. And I'm like, McDavid, like what? And he's just like, no, Leon Draisaitl. I'm like, oh, like to them, he's better than McDavid.
I mean, he was this season, by the way. Like Draisaitl was number one on my MVP ballot. But guess what?
They both were involved in that overtime game winner. That was a beautiful, you know, and Corey Perry had a nice pass on it too. So we'll get to it. There's a little bit more of this statement that I want to pick apart, because specifically one piece that Sweeney addresses that we've gotten mailbag questions about from listeners and viewers. So here's the rest of the statement. He says, we were also looking for a communicator and leader, someone who connects with players, develops young talent, and earns the respect of the room. Marco has impressed us at every step of his preparation, clarity, and passion. And the important part in there that we can delve into is the player development aspect. He specifically mentions developing young talent. And this is going to be a young team, right? Like the Bruins, if they want to go out and get some free agent acquisitions that are top six forwards, they're going to take a lot of the money that's available. Your bottom six is going to probably look like a young, developing bottom six with somebody like Fraser Minton, Matt Patra, maybe even Fabian Lysell. Murat Kuznetsov is still really young. This team is going to have young
Mason Lorai on defense.
And I was going to mention him as well, because though he's played two seasons with the Bruins, his development still has a long way to go. Because offensively you see what he can do, but defensively he's got things to work on. And so his development certainly isn't over either. This is obviously an important part of what he's going to have to do.
Yeah. And I wonder if there's going to be any sort of organizational shift in terms of giving younger players a longer leash. Like we've had this discussion many times, but when you're a contender, and you're trying to win every game, and you're trying to set yourself up for playoff success, it's really hard to just let young players play through mistakes. Like you're not going to have a ton of tolerance for that, because everything needs to be buttoned up. Obviously, as last season went on, especially after the trade deadline, we saw a bunch of guys playing higher in the lineup than they really should have been. We saw a lot of young guys get chances, either make NHL debuts or get, you know, a 10-game sample like Lysell did. And, you know, quite frankly, get longer leashes than, like, some of them really deserved. But the Bruins could do that because they weren't going anywhere. part of them was, they'll never admit it, but was probably actively tanking and didn't care that they were losing. So, you know, like, I'm interested to see what this season looks like, because they're not going to do that again. I'm sorry to break this to people. They're not tanking for Gavin McKenna. They're not going to try to lose next season. Like, they are going to try to win. They're going to try to get back into playoff contention. But is there more patience along with that? Because I also think, unless they're just not being realistic with themselves, they're also not going to be a contender. Like, they are not a Stanley Cup contender next season, no matter what they do this offseason. I just can't envision a path where they get back to that in 1 year. So, yeah, they're going to have to develop young players. And if you're asking Marco Sturm as your NHL head coach to be part of that, that means those young players have to play. You can develop them some in practice, but they're not going to develop if they're playing 8 minutes a night or the healthy scratches. Like, whoever's up here actually has to play. And that means there's going to be mistakes and there's going to be stuff to work through, and you're going to have to stick with them. And that will be something different for the Bruins, because generally that is not their approach. Generally, like, unless you're ready to hit the ground running, you don't get to play any kind of significant minutes. So I'm really curious as to whether there's going to be more organizational patience and longer leashes for some young players, or are they still going to have like this same high standard that they hold all these kids to? Because I think that also like hamstrings the coach, because now if a kid makes a mistake, Marco Sturm's looking over his shoulder at his boss being like, well, I'm supposed to play the guys who don't make mistakes, right? So like, do I have to bench him now? And I just don't think this is the season for that. I think they have to allow for a little bit more NHL developmental runway.
Yeah, and I feel like Marco Sturm's instinct probably would be, because of his 3 years, the previous 3 years being an AHL head coach, like, those guys are more apt to throw guys right back out there. So maybe he'll have that instinct to do it with some of the younger guys at the NHL level. And just thinking to some of the players that he'll have to work with, I feel like someone like Fraser Mitton is a guy that he's going to like, really like, because he's pretty well-rounded for one of the younger guys who's only played a few NHL games with Boston. He's got a good 200-foot game. He's mentally, pretty locked in defensively, big kid, certainly plenty of development left, but like what he already has, I feel like Marco Sturm would really enjoy working with him on maybe adding a little bit of offense, but defensively he's already pretty solid. I feel like this hiring may be good for someone like Fraser Mitton, because I think that's a player that Marco Sturm might see and connect with.
Yeah, again, like he fits that identity, right? Of like what Sturm himself was, where it's defensively smart, gritty, plays with some jam, goes to dirty areas, battles. Like, yeah, so definitely. And then the flip side of that is like, is there room for a Matt Patra who, you know, has some grittiness in his game, but like that's obviously not his strength. There's still work to do defensively, but more of a creative offensive player who wants the puck on his stick all the time. Is there room for a Fabian Lysell who certainly plays with pace, but needs to have that channeled into more effective ways, into creating offense versus rather than just using a speed, taking it wide and then kind of skating into trouble. This all kind of comes back to this idea of evolving offensively and what that actually looks like, which I'm just really curious about, because we know Don Sweeney, we've heard him enough. We know forechecking hard is going to be part of what he wants to do, that they've been able to do at times, but I think it's safe to say as an organization, they still have not reached the level of being like a great forechecking team that they want. He's talked about creating anxiety on the forecheck. Like, I imagine that's all still part of the playbook, but I'm really curious like where they see the evolution taking place. You know, is it doing more off the rush? Is it doing more off the cycle? Is it allowing for more creativity? You know, guys holding onto pucks longer. You know, there's the whole quantity quality debate. Like, is this going to be a put everything on net and just look for deflections and tips? Or do they envision more, you know, creative offensive play where there's room for guys to look for the extra pass or try to make seam plays, you know, try to look for those real like high danger chances. We just don't really know, because the Bruins have, I feel like at times, have tried to kind of do a little bit of everything, and that's maybe part of the problem of why they ended up as a team without an identity last year. So I'm really curious to see what they think their offensive identity is going to be.
Yeah, when you look at the pieces, Scott, it's, I mean, if it was going to be one of those net front, tip it in, score the gritty goals kind of teams, like, they're missing players that have those skill sets, right? Like, who on the roster right now really fits that? I mean, for one, there's only a few guys that are just throwing everything on net. A lot of people are holding on to pucks, waiting for the perfect chance. They had net front guys in the past. Like, they trade Brazo. He was, you know, one of their net front guys that they've moved on from 2 seasons ago, or is it 3 now? I don't know. However you want to say it, because now the season is over. The final Bergeron season, where they had a lot of guys who could get out in front of the net and play that style of hockey. That's just not what the roster looks like now. There's just so much that needs to be filled in. Maybe, and if that's the style he wants to go, then maybe we are talking about Sam Bennett being on the Bruins next year, because I feel like he does fit some of the stuff that Marco Sturm and the Bruins, you know, management as well, might be looking for. You see how effective he's been in the playoffs, and unfortunately his sticker, you know, his price tag is going up and up and up the more he impacts the playoffs. But now that Sturm, we know, is, you know, we can maybe project a little bit more about what the rest of the offseason will look like, knowing who the coaching candidate is, right? Because if it were one of these other guys, maybe they had a different preference. And, you know, we want to go out and get Mitch Marner because we want to work with, you know, that style of player. Whereas Sturm might be more apt to be like, you know what, I think Sam Bennett actually is a better fit because that's the kind of player we're looking for. And I could see him adding to the identity of the team. So now we kind of have the ability to maybe get in the brain of the coach a little bit more, and he'll have some say in those decisions in the off season.
Yeah. I don't know how much say he'll have, honestly. I think the reason you want to get your coach in place before all that is, like, you want to know the style you're going to be playing, obviously, but ultimately what place to target is still going to be entirely Sweeney in the front office.
Well, there's a conversation, obviously. There's, you know.
Yeah, there's a conversation, but, like, they're not handing out a 7-year deal because Marco Sturm wants the guy, right?
No,
like,
but it's a collaboration of what the vision is.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be interesting. I don't know if we want to. I don't know if you have much else to say. Obviously, there's a lot more we're going to get into, and we'll get Brian's thoughts. And if anyone has questions, again, we're always looking for mailbag questions. Skatepod@wei.com, at the Skatepod on Twitter, or just leave a comment on YouTube.
Go
ahead.
Before we change subjects, I was going to say, I guess I'll throw this question back out, because this is something we asked before they named the head coach. We talked a little bit about it then, but we talked about what's the first order of business for whoever comes in. And now that we know it's Marco Sturm, it'd be interesting to see what he attacks first and what maybe the first priority would be. And I know when we talked about it the first time, we said just creating those connections with players was going to be really important to start out. So I'm sure we'll hear more about that this week as he settles in and gets a chance to talk to the team.
Yeah, I mean, like, that is just, like, in terms of the timeline, that is, like, quite literally the first task is connecting with Pastrnak, McAvoy, other players, you know, obviously a lot of those guys aren't in Boston. So I don't think there's no like team meeting or anything. I wouldn't think, but you know, there might be a group face chat or a small group or whatever that they'll do. But yeah, like starting to build those connections. And again, like, because you have to be able to hit the ground running once you actually get these guys in the building. So they should already know you a little bit, know what you want to do. You should start to get to know them. You know, I know like when Montgomery got hired, he talked about how he talked to Brad Marchand, and Marchand told him like, we want to be coached, you know, do what you have to do. Like, we're all ears. And that was obviously Marchand's approach. You hope you hear similar things from Pastrnak and McAvoy, but maybe you get something different. And like, you have to know that as well, right? Like if they're, I don't know what the word is. Like if you get the impression that, you know, they might be like a little tougher to crack, or you might have to massage some things or whatever, like you also want to know that. So not that I think that's the case or anything, but you just have to get a feel for all those things. And then once they get on the ice, again, we already touched on some of it, but establishing a defensive identity, just getting this team back to being solid defensively, and then whatever evolve offensively means, to me that becomes like the most interesting question heading into next season, is what that actually looks like.
Yeah, and my final thought on this for today before we get Brian next episode, and I'm sure we'll have much more to say, is just because I keep coming back to like some of the younger guys and specifically Fabian Lysell, and just trying to think where he might fit in, if he would fit in. And I know in our mock off season, none of us had him really well. I guess I had him as like the very like last piece, but once again, that doesn't really seem to be a good fit for him. He's going to need to be a middle six guy, not a bottom guy. Like it'll be interesting to see, does the new coach have a new philosophy about him? I mean, we talked about with Montgomery, Trent Frederick hadn't really reached potential under Cassidy, and we started to see him grow and be a better player with a new head coach. But I mean, I guess the big difference being that Frederick already had much more NHL experience, and the skill set is so, so different. I mean, Trent Frederick and Fabian Lysell are not even close to the same player, but I just mean to use this as a reference back to, you know, maybe there are some guys in the system who haven't developed under the previous head coach that would do better under.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
New head coach.
Yeah, definitely. And then also, like, are there players that Sturm just kind of falls in love with over the course of training camp or preseason that where maybe guys were not even really talking about or thinking about? Like, going back to Montgomery's first season, the big surprise to make the team out of camp that season was Jacob Lauko, who had just had a really disappointing AHL season the year before. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, he looks pretty good in camp. He's playing well in the preseason. And then he's like sticking around. And all of a sudden, like, Montgomery's putting him on real lines. And sure enough, he makes the team and basically stuck around that entire season. And that was driven largely because Jim Montgomery liked the way he played and saw him as a fit on his fourth line.
Hey, maybe he's a koozie guy.
Brian's going to lose his mind if he's not. So,
How could you not be a koozie guy? He's, you know, that's who I'm interested in seeing, you know, the connection.
Yeah, but there. I mean, like, even if, like, maybe it's a Riley Duran or a John Farinacci or, like, someone who comes in, is ready to go, has a good camp, and Marcus Sturm's like, I like everything this kid's doing. I want him on the team. Like, that's where the head coach can have some influence. Ultimately, roster decisions are the GMs, but, you know, they do have some say as far as, like, this guy's doing everything I want him to do in camp and in preseason, and I see a role for him on this team.
And when Sweeney says in his statement, like, I'm impressed with his research and, you know, what he put, like, because obviously going into an interview for a head coaching position in the NHL, you have to have done quite a bit of research into what, you know, have a plan, what you like, know the players, know, you know, their strengths and we like, you have to come in so incredibly prepared in that, like, the depth of knowledge to take over as a head coach just requires so much. Like, you're going to have to know the players in Providence too, not just the players in Boston. You're going to have to know what you think worked or didn't work, and be able to explain it and convince management that this plan is what's going to help the team. And there's just so much that goes into it. So you hope that during his preparation for this process of interviewing, he's really kind of dived into some of the younger guys too, and watched their tape and thought about their development and, you know, maybe open to ideas that Montgomery wasn't in terms of, and Sacco, I guess I'll add in there as well, because he was here for a good chunk of the season last year as the interim head coach, that maybe they didn't think of, or, you know, there were so many other issues that it wasn't on their plate, but now you have fresh eyes looking at it and who knows, who could ultimately benefit maybe getting elevated to a bottom six role out of Providence or what have you. There's still so much to be decided on this team. This was just the first step of many that's coming over the summer.
Yeah. Last thing for me, just a couple quick biographical notes. Marcus Sturm is the first German head coach in NHL history. He's just the fifth European head coach, period. And the first European head coach for the Bruins. And I already got weird pushback from a couple of people on Twitter who are like, name one European head coach who's been successful in the NHL. It's like, yeah, there's literally been four of them ever. Like, yeah, okay, sorry, none of them are Scotty Bowman. Like, what do you want from me? Like, I guess if we're gonna rule out European head coaches because four of them have, you know, had varying levels of success but not like one Stanley Cups, then
I didn't realize we had like the anti-Euro bias going on.
Yeah, I think it was Don Cherry. He was jumping in my replies.
Yeah, what the heck? It's not a Canadian. Why? You know, yeah. No. That's so funny. I didn't realize that was one of the reactions, because I mean, we scroll through Twitter comments on different things just to kind of gauge where people are at, and I didn't see that.
Also, Marco Sturm has basically been in North America since the mid 90s. Like, yeah. You know, his NHL career started in 1997, and yeah, he went back to Europe to be Germany's head coach for 3 years, 2015 to 18. But like, other than that, he's been in North America this entire time. He's been around the NHL, the AHL. It's not like this is like some no-name coach from no-name to us, like from Sweden, who's coached in the SHL for 20 years and has never been in North America. Like, this is quite a bit different.
Also, I feel like some people, when they think of European style hockey, they think of like the Sedins, or like they think of a completely different style of hockey than what Marco Sturm actually played. Yeah. Like, they're thinking of like an Elias Lindholm or like some of those finesse guys that are less gritty and the European style, which is, you know, it's been labeled as that for a while, but that's not who he was. And I don't think that's who he'd be as a head coach either.
Yeah, I agree.
So we can move on to the Stanley Cup Finals that have started. Game one was very entertaining, very frustrating, I think, for hockey fans. I think Edmonton fans went through quite an emotional roller coaster in that game. They start out with a lead, and then there's a goalie interference challenge that doesn't go right, so the goal counts. It when, you know, Sam Bennett crashes into Skinner, and it just, it's off to a bad start with that, and then you give up a goal on the power play to Brad Marchand immediately after. When you fail on the challenge and the insult to injury comes right away, and you're like, okay, we're up 1-0, and this sequence just caused us to go down 2-1. So that was like a very low point for Edmonton, and they fought back. And once they pushed it to overtime, I had a pretty good feeling that they were going to be able to find a way to win that game. They had some really good chances at the end of regulation too. And ultimately, like we mentioned, the stars for Edmonton came through, and Leon Draisaitl gets the game-winning goal assisted by Perry and McDavid. And they take game one on home ice. And after talking to some of our colleagues, our friends who are reporters that were there, they said it was an incredible atmosphere to be a part of. And it looked like it. It certainly, I think it must've been such an insane experience for those guys on the ice for that game winning goal. Like, the amount of energy that added, it means a lot for them and for that fan base. And so, you know, they transfer that when there's a home game.
I mean, just an awesome game, like everything you're hoping for from this series. And I think I said that on one of our recent podcasts, like, last year goes seven, so like it looks great, like when you're at the end, like, oh, it went seven games and game seven was a one goal game. But a lot of those games were blowouts one direction or the other, and you had Florida going out to a 3-0 lead, then you had Edmonton coming back, and like, it kind of only felt like games 1, 6, and 7 you were like really fully amped up for, because before that, it kind of felt like the Panthers are just running away with that series. And yeah, so like, there wasn't a ton of like actual great, entertaining back and forth hockey right away. Game one this year, this was better than any game in last year's series. Like you said, like a little bit of controversy mixed in, you know, Edmonton gets off to an awesome start, and then Florida, like they can do, like, hits back, and all of a sudden it's a 2-1 game, and then it's 3-1 early in the second. Edmonton answers right back. Then Panthers have like a really strong push the rest of the second period, but can't extend the lead. Edmonton keeps it a one goal game, and then really dominates in the third, ties it, but can't find the winning goal, goes to overtime. You know, Oilers continue to really control play, like lots of chances, and finally break through on that power play with McDavid setting up Dreisaitl. Poor Tomas Nosek had the costly puck over the glass penalty to hand them that power play. But I mean, this was like going into it, if you were like, what do you want this series to look like? I would have just been like, that game one. There you go. Like, that's what I hope this series looks like.
I mean, you saw on full display Florida doing Florida things and, you know, getting away with things and being frustrating. And it, when you're watching it, if you're a Bruins fan, recognizing and remembering how they did it to Boston and how frustrating it was then. And then Edmonton was doing Edmonton things and they had these bursts of speed where you could tell that nobody can keep up with a guy like Connor McDavid, and it's impossible to try to cover McDavid and Dreisaitl when they're out there at the same time. And so both things that we knew were strengths, we saw. And then goaltending was interesting, obviously, because it was a close game the whole way. And I'd say I thought both goalies did pretty well. I don't know if you had a different opinion. I thought that goaltending-wise, the game was not an issue. In my opinion, for either of the teams, it looked, you know, at the very least, it was hard to tell who has the advantage, I think, in net in this series from just the first game.
Yeah, the Arvidsson goal, which that cut it to 3-2, was maybe soft, but Bobrovsky, there's definitely a moving screen on it, and you could just tell the way it beat Bobrovsky that like he wasn't able to react until the puck basically deflected off his glove. So he just didn't see it, but that would maybe be the only one where you're like, I probably should have had that. I mean, both goalies made some really good saves, to keep that game going. Even, you know, I mentioned like Oilers kind of dominated the third in overtime, but Florida actually had the first push in overtime. Like the first 2 minutes was all in the Edmonton zone and Florida had a couple really good chances there. I think it was Bennett set up Rodriguez and Stuart Skinner like just got the tip of his glove on it. Like that could have been the end of the game right there. So yeah, you know, as we said, going in, like two goalies who can be inconsistent, Skinner especially, but he's been stepping up big and he's been really good at home in these playoffs. So I'm still skeptical of like whether that can hold up for an entire series, for an entire Stanley Cup final, but yeah, he was good for Edmonton in game one.
That first goal, there was nothing he could have done. Like he couldn't play his position. Bennett was there in the way. The reason that doesn't get called goalie interference isn't because he didn't make contact with the goalie, is because they say he got tripped into the goalie by an Oilers player. So that's the reason.
Classic, if you're looking at it, classic going, Bennett.
Classic.
Like so he classic. He did get tripped, but he absolutely knew exactly where he was falling. Like you can't prove that, so you can't take it off the board, but you just know, knowing Sam Bennett, like he got tripped and he was like, well, I guess I'm gonna fall into the goalie.
Yep. And that's the frustration of pretty much probably every fan base in the league besides the Panthers fan base.
Yeah.
Sees that and goes, you gotta be kidding me, they're doing it again and they're getting away with it. And that's just what they do. They know how to skirt the rules. And like, I mean, it takes a level of intelligence to know when to do it and how to do it without making it obvious, like without it being like a dive or without, you know, getting the goal called back for too much contact and whatever. But they know how to do it. They do it really well. And Sam Bennett is at the top of the list of guys that know how to do it well. Makachuk's up there too. But when you were watching, because of the conversations we've had about Sam Bennett being a free agent and maybe being some of the Bruins out to their top six, are you just thinking, you know, trying to imagine him fitting into a Boston lineup? Or are you just watching him and going, okay, crap, I think the price tag might be too high now because he's showing to be so valuable?
Yeah, I mean, I think the price tag is definitely going to be too high. It's been trending that way this whole postseason. I mean, we saw the reports, you know, Elliot Freeman thought there might be teams willing to go as high as 10. which, like, at that point, I'm just okay being out of those sweepstakes. Like, I could go as high as 8, like maybe could talk me into 8.5, but I'm not going that high for someone who, yes, is really good and whose game translates to the playoffs, but ultimately is like a 45 to 50 point guy. Not an elite scorer to me. Like, once you start getting to double digits, like, that guy's got to be a big part of my offense. And so I would be comfortable not giving Sam Bennett that much. But it's so easy to imagine him with the Bruins. Like, and I think every fan base probably feels this way. Like, you hate him when he's on the other team, but you can't deny the way that he steps up in the playoffs and, like, the way that his game translates. And, you know, it's not like he's just like this gritty, agitating player. Like he is that, but he also is going to make plays. I mean, he had a couple nice zone entries to create chances, like walked, I forget what defenseman it was, but basically turned him around for a scoring chance at one point. You know, so there is like some second line skill there, but not for $10 million though, at least not to me.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, he's pretty much would be the second highest free agent price tag, right? Like, it would be Marner, and then it would be him if somebody's willing to offer him 10. I would think that he's that puts him in the range of probably being the second highest paid guy to come out of this year's free agents.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a possibility. You know, you wonder about like Aaron Ekblad, if he gets to free agency, is probably going to be up there. But yeah, which, you know, also speaks to like the challenge the Panthers are going to have, because now you're hearing, you know, $10 million for Bennett, $8 million for Marchand. Ekblad, if he gets to the open market, will probably be the highest paid defenseman. And that could be $9-10 million. You know, like he's quietly a top player for the Panthers, where, you know, I feel like because of everything they have up front and how much those guys like contribute to that team's identity, you sort of forget about like their back end. But, you know, I mean, Seth Jones has scored a couple big goals, but like Ekblad and Forsling are just out there all the time. I mean, they were both, I think, well over 30 minutes last night. Ekblad's a huge part of what they do, and he's set to be an unrestricted free agent as well. So, the Panthers are going to be good for a while, but there is going to be some turnover because they can't keep all those guys, and they might not even be able to keep two of them.
Well, it's like when at the end of the Bruins, you know, winningest season, they had to make decisions, those decisions too. Like, they couldn't afford to pay Bertuzzi, even though they maybe wanted him to be on the team still. Those decisions were difficult because there was just not enough money to go around to keep together a team that is really solidly built as of right now. So much so that the guys are worth more than what you're probably paying for them now. And that's why you're not going to be able to keep all of them. So,
by the way, like some other news there, just along the lines of, we've said it before, but like, there's going to be sticker shock this offseason. Guys are going to get paid more than people think they should. Well, we just had an example of that because the Colorado Avalanche re-signed Brock Nelson for 3 years, $7.5 million. And like, Brock Nelson looks like he's in his mid-30s. He looks like a player whose game is on the downslope. He did not have a good postseason for Colorado.
You know, assume he's old and washed up because he's got full gray set of hair.
Yeah, he's 30, 34 going on 64.
Yeah, no, I remember it went for Four Nations because he was like, people were talking about his hair. They're like, whose grandpa is this? But he is in fact still in his mid-30s. So.
Yeah, but like, I know like we've referenced AFP analytics and their contract projections a bunch. I think they had Nelson projected at like 3 years, $7 million a year. So just re-signing, not even going to the open market, he ended up $500,000 a year over that. So I think you're going to see a lot of contracts where you're like, wow, that's like a million or a million and a half a year more than I thought they were going to get.
Well, and this is a conversation for another time, but the whole, and this isn't a free agent, but this is a guy that, like, if we're talking about guys that are impactful that you are taking a look at in the off season, the rumors around Pettersson just continue to be interesting. And I don't know. Brian had thoughts on this too, so I don't want to get into it too much, but
yeah, we should definitely save that mostly for a Brian podcast.
Yeah, he's got thoughts on it, but I just think it's interesting because if you already know what that contract is. If you were to get him, you would be trading, obviously, probably quite a bit to have to move him, but he could be a real huge impact player for you if you're able to pull him away, because it's so weird, the relationship. Like, it gets weirder and weirder.
I think it's clear that he is so weird. Like, there's something not fully right there, which is, like, part of what worries me. Like, again, we will get into it more because it's worth exploring. His name is out there, Elias Pettersson. Marco Rossi's name's also out there. You know, someone, again, we've touched on, but can maybe get into more. I don't know. How about Martin Natchez? Another player the Bruins have been linked to before, who now there's rumors that, like, he might not be totally happy in Colorado, which is absolutely bizarre. Like, I'm like, where is that guy going to be happy? Like, he wasn't happy in Carolina. You put him on the line with Nathan MacKinnon and he's still not happy? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Hey, he wants to play with the Czechs. He's from the Czech Republic. We talked about this the last time when he was in arbitration or you know.
Yeah. But, well, you've got them, so maybe you're where he wants to be.
Yeah, you got Zaka, you got Pasta, maybe Lauko's still around. He's got his Czechs, you know, all there. They can go out together in the North End and have some fun. But yeah, there's so much more to get into, even though this is just an off season podcast. I can't wait to hear what Brian has to say about it too. I'm gonna leave us off if you're pretty much good on the funniest part of last night's broadcast to me, which, by the way, I will say I like the broadcast crew that they had for game one. I think that I like Boucher a lot as he's another analyst, even though he's not in the booth. He's, you know, he's down ice level. And I think I like him and Razor, like, I, as analysts, because I think goalies, I always feel like I'm learning something new that I didn't know, right? Like, they give it to you from a completely different perspective. And so I liked the analysis on that crew. I think play-by-play was good. I think there's an entertaining panel in the intermissions. My favorite thing that was said was Wayne Gretzky in the intermission between the third period and overtime. Everyone was saying who they think is going to score the game-winning goal, and he goes, Trent Frederick. And I'm like, this guy is not a gambler. This guy, don't listen to his gambling advice.
Well, he was
sorry, but I don't know. I was like, Wayne, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I think he kind of heat checked himself, because if you remember, they came into that intermission, but playing the clip from him between, I think it was between the second and third period, he was talking about how the Panthers were taking away the middle of the ice against Connor McDavid. They weren't letting him cut to the middle. And Gretzky's like, he's going to have to take it wide and look for someone back door. And then McDavid sets up the tying goal by going wide and finding Mattias Ekholm back door. So I think he, that they threw his photo up with, like, Gretzky Damas. So I think he was feeling a little too confident and thought he could go out on limb. And then, by the way, Trent Frederick had a golden scoring chance in overtime, puck on his stick back door. And he just, it was kind of just a little too out of his reach. And he sort of put it back across Bobrovsky's body. But Brian texted us, right? Cause, like, you put through that in our group chat, like, bad prediction or whatever. And then, like, right after that chance, Brian threw in the eyeball emoji. So
Yeah, it was just funny. I'm like, pick McDavid. Come on, like, pick Drysdale. No, Trent.
I also, that's boring though. Like, I do the same thing, so I respect that. Like, you can't pick the obvious guys.
It was funny to me. I was like, Trent Frederick, you know.
Also, maybe he is a good gambler because you're going to get incredible odds on Trent Frederick. Like,
yeah, I guess so.
If you were to actually bet on that, like, you're getting amazing odds. So you're making a lot of money if he does score.
I guess so. I personally chuckled when it was getting late and we're waiting for overtime. And I'm like, this was good. I'm glad I listened to the intermission. But anyway, I think that's probably going to do it for our thoughts on the Stanley Cup Final Game 1. We'll have plenty more to talk about when we get Brian on Marco Sturm, the rest of the Bruins offseason, because we didn't have a chance to talk about the Combine, which is also going on right now. And then
Roger McQueen healthy
question mark. I saw we get comments like, hey, it's a blessing in disguise that McQueen is falling and might end up with the Bruins. So anyway, there's stuff to get into with that too. And we're approaching, some more conversations about some of the younger guys that we're going to see in the draft. So, with that, I will say goodbye. We'll probably talk when early next week. Are we going to do anything before the press conference? Are we just going to wait?
Yeah,
I
think we should probably do a Monday episode, and then we'll also do the press conference reaction.
All right. Well, sounds like we got some more content coming up early next week. So until then, thank you guys all for listening and watching, and we'll talk to you soon.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.